Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. My name's Dan, and today I'm here to talk about The City That Never Sleeps, the DLC for Marvel's Spider-Man. All right, first off, we've got a description for this. It says, continue your adventures in Marvel's New York with Marvel's Spider-Man, The City That Never Sleeps. Get access to 3 post-launch story chapters that include additional missions and challenges, factions of enemies from Marvel's Spider-Man universe, and additional suits to unlock. And then a little production info for this. This was developed by Insomniac Games, who of course made Marvel's Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales. They also made the Resistance series, which was in the PS3 era, Ratchet and Clank, known for quite a few different cool series. And also there's an upcoming Wolverine game as well from Insomniac. And then also, as mentioned in there, the DLC is composed of 3 chapters. And these 3 chapters are called The Heist. This originally came out on October 23rd, 2018. Then you've got Turf Wars, which came out a month later on November 20th, 2018. And then finally, Chapter 3 called Silver Lining. That came out December 21st, 2018. All right. Now, heading into some non-spoiler thoughts, I guess for context-wise, these stories all take place 3 months after the base game. So, it's been a little bit since the main game ended, and this is kind of cleanup after that with some things that come after that. I guess also with these, you play these 3 chapters as 3 distinct chapters. So, something that happens is that things in those chapters, like activity-wise, don't bleed over into the next chapter. So, for instance, if you have collectibles in, say, Chapter 1, if you don't do those in Chapter 1, you can't do them in Chapter 2 anymore. You'd have to go reload Chapter 1 to go do those, or anything like that. So the story does connect. I would say that each of these 3 chapters kind of take place over, I don't know, a shorter period of time. It seems like after the main game, like within each other, like they might, I don't think they're like 3 days, but I think they're within a shorter frame of time. But yeah, those activities don't bleed over. They're only confined to their chapter. So if you were doing collectibles or like in the main game, there's like warehouses you can bust down and things like that. Those wouldn't carry over to the next chapter, so you have to do them. So that's something that's kind of interesting with these. I'm guessing because it takes place after the main game, you have to finish it to be able to play, but it doesn't bleed over. So like if you were doing like New Game Plus on the main game, the new game won't interfere with this. Like when you play your chapter, you are confined to your chapter. Last kind of non-spoiler thought, doesn't have to do with the game, but last weekend I went and saw Spider-Man Miles Morales the Across the Spider-Verse, and that was fun. And then that same day I also started playing this DLC, so that's been pretty fun, I would say, as a frame for me of like, cool, I'm getting into some Spider-Man stuff after it's been a while, because I played the game, this game, Marvel Spider-Man, I think in 2019, maybe that summer after. And then I played Miles Morales last year? 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I think, at this point. So it's been a while. I haven't played any Insomniac Spider-Man in a minute. So this was fun to do. And that's sort of my frame, I guess, coming in. It's been a while since I played either of those games, and so it was fun returning to this world with the DLC. All right, we can head into the recap here. If you don't want spoilers for this DLC, I would say hop off. I guess also probably for context, based on playing this, Spider-Man 2018, the main game, would have happened. This is 3 months after that, and then Miles Morales is sometime after this. So this is definitely that gap in between times. I feel like if I would have been thoughtful about it, maybe I should have played this before Miles Morales. Not that it's spoiled over, but it's not sequential. So I did go back in time a little bit in this, I would say, playing here. Okay, cool. Now we can start up. The first chapter is called The Heist. Kind of the thing that's going on when you start this chapter is the Magia crime families are trying to step into the void of the crime world because of the void that you created in the first game. So in the first game, in the main game, you took out Fisk at the beginning of it. You took out Martin Lee, all of that. So you've done a lot in there. So there's a new who's like the top dog of crime. And so the Maggio crime family is really going for that. And you start off the game hearing that there is this painting at the museum that the Maggio family is looking to steal. And so you're like, all right, I want to protect this museum, protect this spot, you know, get to fight goons, all of that stuff. And as you're kind of fighting, you do protect the museum, you protect the painting. The museum is essentially destroyed, but after your protection is done, you see Black Cat's there, and Black Cat breaks the painting and takes a USB out of it, and she runs off. And so you are thrown off because Black Cat is not one to really get involved with crime like this, or, you know, gangsters like the Maggio family. That's not really her thing. Instead, she's been more of a high-end, like, art thief or things of that nature. So this was kind of out of the ordinary for her. And so you go after Black Cat to try to figure out what's going on with her and why she's involved in this. And also, as you're engaging with Black Cat, through talking with her and also through Peter's kind of commentary along the way, you find out that Black Cat and Peter had a relationship before, that they had been dating or hooking up at some point. I know that Black Cat is in the main game, but I can't remember if you knew that her and Pete used to date or anything like that. I don't remember, to be honest, because as I said, I played the main game quite a long time ago, and really, really loved it, I would say, but some of the details I'd say are a little hazier, to be honest. But when you talk with Black Cat, you find these things about her, you kind of know you have this relationship, and so she says, okay, well, the reason I'm doing this is that Hammerhead has my son. He said that if I don't steal these things for him, he's going to hurt him. And as Peter, you're like, oh my God, you have a son? Is it mine? Like, you're really frozen on that. And I think you even feel bad. You're like, oh my gosh, we had a kid and I didn't even know about it. Like, I feel so awful about that. And so you agree to help and say, all right, if it's to save your family, then yes, I will team up with you so we can, you know, take on Hammerhead and get him what he wants so that your family's safe. In this, again, Peter's kind of dealing with that. Am I the dad? What should I do with that? Peter has also recently gotten back together with MJ. And so he's in this kind of weird spot where him and MJ have just made it right. And now he's like, oh my God, surprise, I might be a dad. And I didn't know it. And kind of the confusion, I guess, that would surround that, which makes sense. So you team up with Black Cat and you break into this vault that has the final USB drive in it. And she ends up locking you in the vault to leave you there for Hammerhead. It turns out that she has no son. She'd played you to get you to go along with her. I guess also with the USB drive, the Maggio crime family at one point put each of their financial records on different USB drives because essentially if they each all had potential access to one another, they would be at peace because the accounting kind of thing. And so Hammerhead's like, all right, I'm going to take all of this. His intention was, I'll take all of this, and then I'll be rich and I'll be in charge. But Black Cat kind of snooping in and saying, I'm going to steal all that money, is sort of the situation there. So you manage to bust out of the vault, and you're trying to warn Black Cat because Hammerhead orders Black Cat to be killed. You're on her way to her house, and on the way, Black Cat gets to her house. She tries to open the door, and it explodes. And she's presumed dead. No body's found, but it's a humongous explosion. Doesn't look like anyone survived. And at the end of this chapter, you're talking with MJ, and she's like, are you, like, glad to not be a father? And Peter's kind of wrestling with this of, like, on one hand, I guess I'm glad I'm not a dad because, like, I, you know, wasn't ready or I haven't decided this. But on the other hand, sort of this disappointment of, like, maybe a family he thought he had but then doesn't. And also Black Cat being dead. And, you know, like, oh my gosh, I thought you were the mother to my child. And now you're the child isn't there and you're gone too. And sort of in an emotional spot. But MJ is really cool and supportive here. She's like, you know, it wasn't the right time, but I think you'll be a good dad when it is the right time, kind of thing. And I think that reassures Peter a little bit. And, yeah, can kind of move forward from there. All right, so that's the end of chapter one of our DLC. If we were playing back then, it would be 1 month later, and we'd be coming back to play Turf Wars, chapter two. This chapter begins with Team Hammerhead versus the Magia, and you have this really cool spot where there's a warehouse where there's, like, the Magia and Hammerhead are having a giant shootout, and then you basically act as a distraction, kind of fighting everyone outside while the police raid the warehouse, which was pretty cool. Just in how it looked, I thought it was pretty fun. Setup also, like, for me in a game like this, or really probably any spot where there's, like, mayhem, where there's just a bunch of NPCs all fighting each other and you're kind of in the midst of it, I think that's super fun. So that was cool. While you're fighting, Yuri Watanabe leads the police raid in there. Once you get inside the building after you deal with everything outside, you've found that Hammerhead has killed all of the police officers except for Yuri, and you manage to kind of fight some in there, and Hammerhead ends up leaving and kind of go on to fight another day. At this spot, you convince Yuri to take a break, like, you need a leave. You need to take a leave for a while. So Yuri, like, makes calls to all the police officers' families to let them know they were killed, and you're gonna take on Hammerhead yourself. You say, I got this, like, you know, you need some time off. Meanwhile, Hammerhead is stealing, Sable International's weapons. So Sable has all these higher-tech weapons that we saw in the base game, and Hammerhead is kind of putting together this arsenal. I want to be the head person here, and so I'm going to get the best guns, and then I'm going to make everyone submit. Alongside this, he captures all the Magia Dons, and so he's got all the leaders, and he also attacks the police station to steal some Project Olympus Sable equipment. And so Hammerhead has gone kind of on the all-out offensive, I would say. He's fighting everyone, fighting everywhere, scheming, and is basically, in one fell swoop, going to be, this is Hammerhead's town sort of thing. Like, that's his sort of aim. After this attack on the police station, though, Yuri goes rogue and basically starts killing her way to Hammerhead. Goes through different bases of his, kills everyone there, leaves, like, wreckage. It's a pretty wild scene. In this also, MJ is doing research, and I'd say throughout this DLC is you're giving MJ info, she's doing research since she's a journalist, and is kind of following stories where they go, providing information to you on the phone, kind of as stuff goes on. And MJ discovers that Yuri's dad was a police officer who had taken bribes from Hammerhead back in the day. And so this is super, like, personal to Yuri. Basically, if I can take Hammerhead out, that's the kind of stuff I want to do. And has been pretty intent on that as a police officer her whole career, but now she's, like, all in at this spot. And so Hammerhead has set up kind of a final situation for this, which is the Magia Dons are in this pit, and it's starting to fill with cement to kill them. And then there are all sorts of Hammerhead's henchmen around, so you have to, like, fight them while stopping the cement from going in and killing the Dons. So you do that. You do manage to save the Dons. And then finally, you go to take on Hammerhead. You have a boss fight with Hammerhead. During it, there's a part where it looks like you will win, and Yuri shows up, and she incapacitates you, and she puts a gun up to Hammerhead's head and is about to kill him, and when she's about to pull the trigger, you, like, pull her gun, and it raises a little bit, and so when she shoots him, it shoots him in the, like, metal plate in his head as opposed to, like, his skull. But he appears dead. And so when Hammerhead gets taken, he gets put in an ambulance, and one of the paramedics is like, oh, I can't believe this guy's dead. And then the other paramedic knocks them out and then says, he's not dead. And then he brings this, like, charger thing and resuscitates Hammerhead. Boom. What a what an ending to chapter two. Okay, finally, heading to chapter three. This one's called Silver Lining. I guess one comment I'll make, too, I didn't say this along the way, but in chapter one and two and three, I mentioned you talk with MJ on the phone. You also get calls from Miles Morales wanting to learn Spider-Man stuff. You know, like, hey, can we do this stuff? Can we do that? And Peter's basically, I can train you, but I need to kind of deal with this stuff here. But then, yes, I will train you. So there's kind of talk there of, like, I'm going to help you get there. Right now, things are too wild, so you can't come help me yet, though. So that's sort of the vibe there. Okay, cool. Now, chapter three, Silver Lining. And this begins with Silver Sable returning to New York. And she's there to get her equipment back. So Hammerhead, of course, has been stealing all of Sable International's equipment, and Silver Sable has had enough. There's a civil war back in her home country, Simcaria, and she needs these supplies. She needs these weapons. They need aid there. And so she's like, all right, what the hell? I'm going to put an end to this. I'm going to get all my stuff, and then I'm going to go help my country. The way this one works, I would say this chapter is largely sort of cat and mouse games between Silver Sable, Spider-Man, and Hammerhead. And I would say through a lot of this, Silver Sable is like, I work alone and won't team up with you. But as time kind of goes on, she becomes a little more willing, sort of reluctant allies. Of sorts, but not wanting to be a partner. Spider-Man definitely wants to be a partner far more than Silver Sable. During this, though, a big event is Hammerhead leads you into a trap, and it's a spot where Silver Sable and Spider-Man could both be captured. And when you're about to be, Black Cat pops out of nowhere and saves you. Black Cat also gives you the USB drive that she'd stolen that has information on Hammerhead, including his weakness. So you're grateful to Black Cat that she saved you and also that she's alive. This is really cool. From here, you head off to rescue Silver Sable because she was captured just like you would have been if Black Cat hadn't gotten you, saved you. So you infiltrate the base, find out more about what Hammerhead's doing, and ultimately are able to unshackle Silver Sable. Then Silver Sable kicks ass a whole bunch with you in this. Also, I do think Silver Sable does It I don't think she ever gets put in like a damsel in distress thing, like, oh, only if a Spider-Man could save me. I don't think she's ever in that kind of situation. I think that it's just Hammerhead had managed to use his stuff to capture her, not that she was helpless at all. And actually, when you see her, she's being tortured. She gets, like, drilled, like a power drill to her shoulder, which is wild. But then she's still, like, kicking ass. But in all of this, you do discover that Hammerhead is vulnerable to heat. Basically, that his head is not as strong as you'd think it would be. And so you team up with Silver Sable to defeat him. She's got a secret base that's like an aircraft carrier, basically, in the water that was invisible, but you make it visible and basically bait Hammerhead to come fight you. You have a big, long boss battle here where she'll be in her, like, little fighter jet thing, and she'll shoot Hammerhead in the head. It will weaken it, and finally, it ends up resulting in she crashes her plane into Hammerhead while you, like, hold him up head first. And it does seemingly kill him. And from here, Silver Sable decides to head off back to Simkaria to help out there. And that you and her are reluctant partners, that she shakes your hand, kind of, thank you, Spider-Man, and that you got to work together. So that's chapter 3. All right, moving finally to some general thoughts here. First one is I think this DLC was a great addition to the base game. I had a lot of fun with this. I liked the three chapters concept quite a lot. I think if I was playing this back at release and, you know, each month I got a new chapter, just playing those that October, November, December, I could see that being a very enjoyable part of that year. For anyone that did that, I could see myself really looking forward to the next drop, you know, enjoying it for a few weeks in between. Really love that idea. I hope that if Spider-Man 2 does DLC, I hope it does it in the same manner. I think that was very cool, and I would definitely play it sooner. I wouldn't wait as long as I did here. So I thought that was really cool. I thought the chapters was a really engaging way to do that. And kept from, like, getting overwhelmed by, like, oh, I accidentally ran into some main story stuff, or there's just too much going on. Like, I thought that was good. I would say one thing I wish that was a little different is I wish from chapter 1 to 2 to 3, I wish that some of those things could have carried through, but I could understand how that might... I'm guessing that each chapter is, like, a different overlay over New York City, and maybe that's why it's that way, but... that would be cool if some of that stuff did. Because, like, in Chapter 1, Black Cat, her dad's, he was the original Black Cat, and he had art kind of hidden all around New York. And I went and got some of them as the collectibles, but then when I got to Chapter 2, they weren't available anymore. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not doing those anymore. But that could have been fun to do along the way. So that's one comment. Another comment is there was a character called Screwball who gave you, like, timed activities, who was very annoying, and I didn't do any of those. I thought that the character was annoying, but also I don't really like timed activities that much. So it worked out that it wasn't something that seemed interesting to me, but that's something that did happen in these DLCs that I just avoided. The DLC did, just like the base game, have... different, like, crimes in progress that you could stop. I would say in this case, I know in the main game it was, like, there were the demons doing something, or Fisk's people doing something, or Sable's people doing something. In this one, it was, like, Magia or Hammerhead people doing stuff. And then also there were warehouses you could clear, just like in the main game. So there was a part in Chapter 3 where... all these supplies for the Civil War had gotten stolen, like relief supplies. And so you could break down these warehouses and get the supplies back and, like, beat everyone up there. I also had a spot where I hadn't done this in, I think, Miles Morales or the main game, where I cleared a warehouse covertly. So normally, you know, there's the, I think, 5 waves and then a final wave. I managed to have no waves because I got every single person. before the alarm ever got raised, which was really cool. That felt very satisfying. I managed to like impact web everyone to walls or do the little landmine one. There were a couple where I did the triangle like launch punch where I'd KO them and then be able to hop away before anyone found me. So that was really cool. That was satisfying and I hadn't done that yet. So I'd tried to plenty of times before, but I just never had pulled it off where I cleared a whole warehouse without anyone knowing what was going on. So that was really cool. I guess really the last thing that I would have about this is I'm super pumped for Spider-Man 2 coming out later this year. I think that this was a perfect choice getting to play this a little bit ahead of time. And I think also if Spider-Man 2 had come out before I'd played this, I don't know if I would have gone back and played those DLC, because then I would have been kind of too far ahead. But I'm glad I did. It was really enjoyable getting back to it. I'm really excited for the release in October now, and think it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm excited to see what will be there and what will be different. I do remember the feelings of how Miles Morales felt different than this game, this base game did, just with Miles Morales having different abilities and some of that were cool. So I'm excited to see how this will all go in the next one. So yeah, I'm pumped. Good DLC, really enjoyable. If you haven't played this DLC and are looking to get some Spider-Man enjoyment before 2 comes out, I think it is worth your time. I would say that this is one of the better DLCs I've played. Not that I've played tons of DLCs, but this one I'd say is worthwhile. I think they did a good job and made a cool game. Or a cool addition to a good game. Cool. All right, last up, we got a little bit of listener feedback. First up, we've got Nikki on Twitter, says, "It's been forever since I've played it, but I do know that it was fun and was a great addition to the main story." Yeah, totally. I agree. I think that this is a good addition. This is fun. And I don't know, nice to web-sling. You know, again, since I hadn't done it in a few years, this was cool to go back to. And Or play for the first time, but get back to Spider-Man. That was nice. And then last up, we've got Chris on Twitter who said it was okay. So they liked it all right. I'd say that's good as well. I think that with DLC, it can be hit and miss for like how DLC goes. And I think this one, like I said, probably did better than other ones do. But yeah. I don't think it's essential in the same way that, like, I'm trying to think of a DLC that everyone should play. to me, I'd say, like, Farewell for Life is Strange Before the Storm. I would call that essential DLC. I think that's so worth playing. Or Left Behind for The Last of Us. I guess that's another good one where, like, you should totally play it. This one, I would say, is more in the it's good and it gives you more. Like, Frozen Wilds for Horizon Zero Dawn. You don't have to play it, but it is really cool. It gets you more in the world, and it's really enjoyable. I'd say this did the same thing. Yeah, cool. Well, that is The City That Never Sleeps DLC for Marvel's Spider-Man. If you've got any other thoughts on this, or actually, I'd love to hear DLCs, any of your favorite DLCs, that would be a cool topic. If you've got thoughts, yeah, send them my way. I'd love to chat. On Twitter, I'm at StoryEverPod. If you want to listen to our podcast, it's the greatest story ever played, .com. That has a link to any podcast platforms we can be found on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, we're on there. And if we're not, let me know and I'll get us on there. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, you could do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. There, for as little as $1 per month, that will get you access to monthly bonus episodes that we do that are topical in nature. So some ones we've done in the past were like our favorite Pokemon, our favorite games from childhood. Recently, I built the Tall Neck Horizon Zero Dawn Lego set, and so I talked about that and my kind of Lego experience overall. If any of that sounds like something you're into, check that out. If you'd like to support the podcast but can't financially, if you just want to tell a friend about it, or maybe leave a review on Apple Podcast or Spotify, that would mean a lot. Just getting to share in these games more together would be really cool. And yeah, that is the episode, and we'll see you next time.